So how is everybody tonight?
Fantastic.
Let's try it again. How is everybody tonight?
Fantastic.
Well, that wasn't much better, just a little louder is all. That's okay, I'll accept it. Now let's take this to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day today. It's been a glorious day for you. We've been here praising you, worshiping you this morning, this evening, and we'll continue to praise and worship you. Lord, we put our trust in you and everything that you do through our faith. We trust you. Lord, please be with those who could not be here tonight for whatever reason they may have, and be with those that are here tonight, Lord, and help them to understand and help me to deliver the word in the way that you want it delivered. Allow the Holy Spirit to do that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, tonight we're going to talk about Psalms 23. And I'm going to read all 27 verses. Okay, six verses. So it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul and leads me down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. I will not fear evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You shall prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You will anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen.
Amen.
Even six verses. I spent 10 days memorizing that. And I told Dan, I said, "I got this memorized." He said, "Wait till you stand up in front of the church." But I had it memorized, and my dad's in a care center, so I said, "Listen to this." Yeah, didn't go well. I had to get my phone out and look it up. But thank you for listening. It went pretty well tonight for that one. All right, Psalms 23. It is a psalm of David, and it's a psalm of trust and confidence in God. It expresses confidence in God's goodness in this life and of the life to come. It speaks of God's soothing guidance and our ongoing confidence in God. So verse 1 is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The first word in this psalm is the Lord, and the word Lord is capitalized. That speaks of God's power of provision and protection. That's why the word Lord is capitalized, to emphasize. Then it says, "My shepherd." In this psalm and throughout all the Bible, shepherd is a metaphor to God. Jesus, God, same thing. In those days, in ancient Israel, when speaking was done, it was always about our God. And this was in reference to Israel itself as a nation. They spoke of God for the nation. They were forgetting that the God of Israel was also a God of individuals, not just nations. Shepherds, the word shepherd points out the relationship between God and his covenant children. I shall not want, or I shall not be in want, speaks of God's power of provision, God's ability to act and to provide for the needs of his followers, often in ways that exceed our human expectations. We talked about trusting the Lord to provide our needs this morning in Bible study. This is when Jesus sent out the 12 with nothing but the clothes on their back. Reason being is so that they would trust in the Lord to provide for them. And he did. We prove that later in Luke. So just as a shepherd knows each one of his sheep by name, God knows each one of us personally, and He will take care of our needs. All we have to do is ask. Sometimes we don't even have to ask. Things happen, it's like, where'd that come from? Well, we know where it came from. We may say, where did that come from? But we know where it came from. I shalt not want encourages believers to trust that God will provide for all of their needs, physically and spiritually. So just like sheep have to depend on their shepherd for protection and guidance, we are called to depend on God to provide all that we need. We should be content. We should be content knowing that God will provide all that we need. Just like the shepherd, God provides us with His protection and His peace. God's provisions for us make us content in our lives, and with that contentment comes peace and comfort. And that's a great thing, isn't it, to have that peace and comfort. It's an amazing feeling. Verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. So God is always personally concerned with the welfare of His people, much as the shepherds are of their sheep. It says there, He makes me lie down. It's talking about God providing rest for His people. The green pasture shows God's provision of nourishment and the abundance of it. A lot of the stories we hear, there's not much grazing land for the sheep in them areas. They're having to struggle. Ezekiel 34:14-15, it says, I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. So just like the shepherds care for their sheep, God's care is not seasonal. A shepherd has to watch over their sheep constantly. It's not when they feel like it. It's not like they got a fenced-in yard that they can put them out in. So, God's care is not seasonal also, but it's constant and abundant. When you have God caring for you, you won't have any needs. He leads me beside still waters. Some translations say quiet waters. This refers to a quiet, peaceful stream that do not cause the sheep to fear. Because sheep can't think for themselves. Every little movement, every extra noise, it scares them, frightens them, and they run. So they need to be near quiet, still waters. This shows that God will lead us to places of peace and refreshment. Quiet water symbolizes the peace that comes from trusting God, as well as spiritual refreshment in His presence. Isaiah 49:10, it says, they shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them, for He who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water He will guide them. So we can trust God to lead us to places of peace and rest. God will provide our spiritual needs and our physical needs. Nourishment is a physical and spiritual need. Now, we consume approximately 3 meals a day to support our physical body. But what is it that supports our spiritual body? It's being in the Word. So how many times a day should we be feeding our spirit? As many times as we can. As often as we can. And it's not necessarily just reading, but going out witnessing, showing love to people. It's all nourishment to us, our spiritual nourishment. So in order to have that peace and nourishment, we must have a relationship with God. We don't always know the best path to be on. But God, through the Holy Spirit, will guide us. We can find peace just by knowing that God is in control. And He's in control because we ask Him to be in control. Because we want Him to be in control. We can't do it without messing it up. In order for us to experience the green pastures and the quiet waters, we must seek God's presence through prayer, scripture, and worship. In God's presence is the only place that we can find true peace and guidance. Verse number 3, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So the Lord, my shepherd, is described by many aspects of His care. He makes me lie down. He leads. He restores. He guides. He restores my soul. It's talking about the renewal and revitalization of one's inner self, inner being. The soul represents who we are as a whole being. Without a soul, we're just an empty shell of a person. We all have souls. Restoring our soul returns us to the state of spiritual vitality and peace. And that's what coming to church and hearing a message and fellowshipping with other believers does. It renews our soul. So how does He, God, restore our soul? Through His Word and the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 40:31, it says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So we read scriptures in both Old and New Testament of God restoring our souls, restoring our faith, restoring our belief, and He offers rest for the weary and burdened. Now a shepherd will also guide his sheep along the straight and right paths. Shepherds know the right paths to be on. Sheep don't know anything. I'm not going to call them dumb or stupid. Maybe I just did, but anyhow, no. But sheep need to have a shepherd, just like we need to have a shepherd to guide our steps. Amen. Shepherds know the right path and will lead their sheep to water and pasture, ensuring the well-being of the flock. Our trusting in the Lord leads us to those straight paths of righteousness. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. All of these things, paths of righteousness and everything we've talked about, are for the sake of His name. All the things that God does ultimately is for His glory and His reputation. His guidance and restoration are part of His commitment to His own character and promises. He can't change. God's promises will never change, and He will fulfill all of His promises. Why? Because that is the character of God. God is the ultimate restorer of our souls, bringing spiritual renewal and healing. The paths of righteousness are not just moral choices, but a lifestyle aligned with God's will. It's God's will that we take the righteous path. Our lives should reflect God's character and bring honor to His name. If what you're doing is not honoring God, you probably shouldn't be doing it. Just as the sheep depend on their shepherd, we must rely on God for direction and guidance. This dependence fosters a deeper relationship with Him. As recipients of God's guidance and restoration, our lives become testimonies of His goodness and faithfulness to others. Verse 4, probably one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So just as the shepherds lead their sheep through the mountains and the valleys, the sun is shadowed by the peaks of the mountains. So getting right into the meaning of this, we do walk through darkness, also known as the shadow of death. Every day, when we walk outside these doors into the real world, there's a lot of darkness out there. So when we go out in the world as we know it, we are faced with the darkness of death. Because the people that don't see the light, they're living in the darkness, they're going to die eternally in hell. We are faced with the darkness of death and the uncertainty of life when we're out in the real world. Even though we walk the straight path of righteousness, we will go through those shadows that this verse talks about. Biblically, valleys often symbolize trials or low points. So kind of thinking about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, one of the first things that popped into my mind was the walk that Jesus made for 3 years in His ministry. He met plenty of trials and tribulations, yet He did not sin. He healed a lot of people. He performed miracles. He taught the gospel. He preached the gospel. And still, He was rejected. He was spit on. He was belittled. People didn't want to hear Him. So He basically could have said this same thing that David is saying. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And his father was with him. So Jesus' ministry had a lot of highs and lows in this. And in this verse, David's confidence is not in his own strength, but in the presence and protection of God. For you are with me, in this verse, the presence of God is the central source of comfort and courage. David said, for you are with me. You. You emphasizes an intimate relationship. An intimate relationship, let me find my spot, emphasizes an intimate relationship with God, suggesting that His presence is both personal and protected. We all believe we have a personal relationship with God, don't we? Yes. So the rod and the staff it talks about are tools of the shepherd, symbolizing guidance, protection, and discipline. The rod is often used for defense against predators, and it represents God's power to protect and correct. The staff was used to guide the sheep and support them. This symbolizes God's guidance and care. Together, they provide a sense of security and comfort for sheep as well as us. Even in the darkest moments, God is with us. His presence is a source of comfort and courage. God uses His power and His guidance to lead us through life's challenges, just as a shepherd uses his rod and staff to guide and protect his sheep. Our faith in God's presence and protection allows us to face life's valleys and shadows without any fear. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. So this phrase reflects an ancient custom of hospitality, where a host would provide a meal for a guest as a sign of protection and honor. Sharing a meal symbolizes peace and fellowship. In the presence of my enemies is showing that God will provide and protect. So he's preparing a table for David in the presence of his enemies. Doesn't make sense, but David trusts that God will protect him. We can trust that God will provide and protect, no matter the situation. God can turn a bad situation into a blessing. That's if we put our faith and trust in him. In the context of this psalm, you anoint my head with oil signifies God's favor and the bestowal of honor upon David. The anointing also reflects the shepherd's care for the sheep, as oil was used to protect them from insects and to heal wounds, again illustrating God's tender care and provision. The overflowing cup is a symbol of abundance and blessing. Abundance. A full cup represented prosperity and joy. An overflowing cup represents an abundance exceeding the need of the psalmist David. David knows the blessing bestowed upon him by God. That's what David's saying. He knows that God is providing for him abundantly. So even in the presence of enemies, God provides abundantly. So trust in God, regardless of your circumstances. Anointing with oil signifies God's favor and blessing. We get our anointing through, as Curtis said, the Holy Spirit. We must seek life that is giving glory to God for the blessing we receive through the Holy Spirit. The overflowing cup symbolizes the abundant life promised in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is an overflowing cup. God's preparation of a table in the presence of enemies signifies victory and peace. Rest in the assurance of his protection and triumph. Putting that another way, to rest in the assurance of his protection and triumph means finding peace and security in the knowledge that God is sovereign, faithful, and victorious over all things. How many times have you heard that God lost? I read the final chapter. God won that too. So surely, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen is correct. The goodness of God is demonstrated in his abundant care and promises. Goodness and mercy are attributes of God's character, often seen throughout the whole Old Testament. I'm thinking ahead of myself here. The word mercy is a fantastic word to use because of its meaning. God's mercy is a loving kindness. God shows us his mercy or loving kindness. He shows that to us in place of punishment. When we deserve punishment, he shows his grace, goodness, and mercy instead of punishing us. Exodus 34, 6-7, it says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation." Now this was back when Moses made new tablets for a renewed covenant with God for God's people. David said that goodness and mercy shall follow him all the days of his life. David was a shepherd. David was a musician. David killed a giant with one stone and a slingshot. And David became a king. David was not a perfect man by any means. But God chose David. Unlike Saul, David had a heart that was aligned with God's will. God knew his heart. While Saul focused on his own desires, trying to make a name for himself, David gave the credit to God, gave all the glory to God. David was humble, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and quick to repent when he sinned. That demonstrated a heart that sought God's guidance and approval. So to dwell implies permanent residence, suggesting a deep, ongoing relationship with God. David says that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of the Lord at that time refers to the temple, a central place of worship and God's dwelling among his people. But this in David's time would have been a tabernacle when he was speaking in this part, because the temple in Jerusalem wasn't built yet. So, let's see. Believers can trust in God's unwavering goodness and mercy throughout their lives. God's love actively seeks us. Not only are we seeking Him, but His love seeks us, providing comfort and assurance in every circumstance. So surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The promise of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever points to eternal life and communion with God. This assurance encourages believers to look at our walk with an eternal perspective, focusing on our relationship with God. While the promise of eternal dwelling is future-oriented, it impacts how believers live today. Just like we read the Scripture, we learn the Scripture, we're learning tonight, talking about how do we apply it? Do we apply it to our lives? We must apply it to our lives. So knowing that God's goodness and mercy are present now, Christians are called to live faithfully and confidently. So the main message of Psalm 23 is one of trust and assurance in God's provision, protection, and guidance, even through difficult times. It doesn't matter how difficult the time is, how difficult the situation or our circumstance is, we take it to the Lord. Trust in His provisions for us in that time of need. It portrays God as a caring shepherd who provides for His sheep, leading them to safety, nourishment, and rest. This psalm emphasizes God's constant presence, love, and faithfulness, offering comfort and hope to believers. Don't get me wrong, God loves the unbelievers too. But we're talking about the believers here. David is telling us that if we put our trust in the Lord, that He will provide for our every need, and we will not want for anything. Maybe not need for anything is a better word. We want a lot of things. Do we need them? No. We talked about that this morning too. David is telling us of his experience of God's provision. David has experienced this. David is showing us that there is contentment and comfort in the Lord our God. We now have it easier than David did, thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's made the process a little bit easier for us. Doesn't mean that there's not work involved. The God of David's time and the God of our time is exactly the same. Exactly. Nothing has changed. Even after several thousand years, God has not changed. The only thing that has changed for us is the only way to the Father now is through the Son, Jesus Christ. But that change wasn't from God. That's a change in us. We have to go through Jesus Christ to get to the Father, which are both the same. That'll be another message, another time. Byrne can give that one. So we must humble ourselves and be the sheep. We must trust in our shepherd for all things. Our great shepherd will protect us and guide us down the path of righteousness. There will be mountain peaks and valleys to endure in our walk. The path we choose may not always be straight. The Holy Spirit is telling us to go that way, but no, every now and then we just figure, no, I know better. I'm going this way. And we regret it. So, but God will always be with us. God's goodness and mercy will be with us until our earthly existence is over. Then we won't need His goodness and mercy. We'll be there with Him. We will be part of that. And then we will dwell in the kingdom of God with the Father forever. Now, I could stop there, but I just want to read a couple things here and explain what... I have four things here I want to explain. One is provision. A provision. God provides for all needs, both physical and spiritual, ensuring followers are nourished and cared for. And when it says nourished, it means physically and spiritually. We mentioned that word provision many times tonight. Then there's protection. So even in dangerous situations, God's presence and guidance offer us protection and comfort. His guidance. The shepherd leads his flock to paths of righteousness, guiding them towards what is good and true. That's what the path of righteousness is. It's leading you to something that's good and true. And then eternal security. The psalm culminates in the promise of dwelling with God eternally, highlighting the ultimate hope of believers. That's the goal right there. Dwelling with God eternally. So does anybody have any comments? Curtis. That's how it goes. Yes, absolutely. Well, it's His Word, absolutely. So we have to stay in His Word and continue to feed our soul and our spirit in the Word and come in here tonight, this morning. I mean, we've had three different sessions today. Bible study, church, now Sunday night. So it's great. And I know people that were here, almost everybody here was here for all three. So, I mean, it's fantastic to see that. Any other comments or questions? All right. I got five more minutes. Does anybody want to get up and sing a song? All right, I'll close in prayer and we'll get out a few minutes early. I'll tell you later, Crystal. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the fellowship that we have here tonight. We thank You for everybody that's here. And I especially want to thank You for my granddaughter, Crystal, being here, Lord. It gives me such great joy to see her here in the house of the Lord. Lord, please be with all of us as we leave here tonight. Keep us all safe as we drive home. And protect us all from whatever evil is outside. We know that You will, Lord, but it doesn't hurt to help. Or hurt to ask every now and then. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.